You know, we're on a journey. We've been talking about this journey we've been on for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Got my trusty backpack here. Been on a journey, and this week's mile marker is called temptation. Temptation. Temptation, like the other things we've talked about in the past 3 weeks, is another pothole, another speed bump, another danger along the road to discourage us. What do we know about temptation? Well, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." We are all tempted from time to time, are we not? There are all kinds of temptations too. You know, there's that temptation to go after that last piece of chocolate cake in the refrigerator at midnight. You all been there. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Especially if you're on Weight Watchers, right? And then there are the temptations to do the things that you know you shouldn't do when you're away from home, away from your spouse, or something else more destructive. One thing about temptation, though, praise God, is that temptation is not sin. To be tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted, you'll recall, but did not sin. The sin comes in when we act upon the temptation that we know is destructive, that we know is wrong. For example, you may be tempted this year to cheat on your taxes. Oh, by the way, April 15th is right around the corner. Just a friendly reminder from Duckworth Associates. No, just kidding. You may be tempted to cheat on your taxes, but unless you put the wrong numbers down and you submit the wrong information, you haven't sinned. It's when we do those things and act upon the temptation that we sin. I think God is helping us or trying to teach us today how to build up a resistance to temptation. Those things that interfere with our journey of faith, this journey to hope, which is our ultimate destination. And on this journey, we'll find other people in our church, in our community, who are tired, who are distracted, who are discouraged, who are frustrated, who are spiritually, emotionally, and physically wiped out. For you see, this journey of life, this journey to hope, is not an easy journey. It's a stony road. It's full of potholes and diversions and distractions. The journey isn't easy, and we need all the help that we can get. Now, this week I posed another question. Are you enjoying the questions that I'm putting out on the emails and Facebook? If you're not getting my weekly sermon questions, I hope that you'll email me. My email address is in the bulletin. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I got over 20 responses this week. It seems to be at least 10 more each week. I know some of you aren't comfortable sharing these sorts of things, but got some wonderful responses this week. And the question was, what do you do when you're tired, discouraged, and where do you go to get refueled? Where do you go to get refueled? Well, some of you said, I cry. Well, that's pretty good therapy. Last time I checked, crying was cathartic, and it releases the tension and releases some of the chemicals in our bodies. Calling a friend, thinking positive thoughts, walking, sitting quietly, talking to God, fishing. Thank you, Roy. I appreciated that one. Choosing to have a good day. Choosing to have a good day. That was Harlow Carson. He had a wonderful list of things that he was thankful for. Sleep, rest. Here's one. Drink a beer. And then right after that, eat chocolate chip cookies. I hope he didn't do those at the same time. Go to the beach with my dogs. Walk on the beach with the dogs. Take a ride. Listen to Christian music. Listen to Christian music. Or any music that helps us relax. Talk to my wife, visualize Jesus on the cross, and then my problems don't seem so bad. That's a good one. Do my daily devotions, my upper room, study God's word, and of course, where I was headed with this, prayer. Many of you said you pray, and I'm so glad to hear that. So glad to hear that. These all seem to be great ways in which to get re-energized and rejuvenated and refueled. But unfortunately, when some people are depleted, when some people are hurting so deeply, spiritually bankrupt, they turn to other things, the quick fix things, supposedly, instead of the healthy, life-giving things we just talked about. Hurting people succumb to temptations like an extramarital affair, like alcohol, like drugs, both prescription and illegal drugs. People turn to their jobs, believe it or not. Their jobs can become a sedative because they pour themselves in. They're workaholics, and they take time away from their family, and they don't take their vacations, and they don't take their days off, and they work 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. Pornography is rampant, especially with the internet the way it is. And then, of course, gambling, just to name a few. Sure, these things may make us feel good for a little while, but they do have devastating consequences. None of these things, though, can help us get to our destination called hope. They can only make the trip more difficult. Now, we all have our stuff. We all have our issues. And we might ask ourselves today, if there are so many hurting people out there in our community and maybe in our own church, how is our church set up to help them? How can we help those on the journey with us? How can our church come alongside them and be a community for those who suffer from addictions, for those who are in some other kind of self-destructive behavior? Sure, we've got a support group for women. I don't know how many women are in that group yet. What, Maria? 3, 4? Maybe 5? Okay, that's 5 women out of this whole community of Lewis. How many people live in Lewis? I don't know. What about the hurting men? Why don't we have a men's support group? Us guys got stuff too. We have our Stephen ministers. God bless them. Who are working with people, but they should have 2 and 3 people each that they're ministering to and working with. I don't think our numbers are that great, but we have a whole team of people ready, willing, and able, and trained to reach out to the hurting of our community. What is Bethel doing to be a resource for people battling addictions? Do we have any support groups meeting here? Last time I checked, we didn't have any AAs, NAs, or GAs. Gamblers Anonymous. What can we do? How can we be more relevant? Why can't we host workshops and classes on things like financial management, marriage enrichment, child or elder abuse? All these things are what we call being a verb. But it takes people like yourself with a passion for God and a compassion for people to carry them out and get them started. Is God calling you to start a new ministry at Bethel Church today, tomorrow, this week? All these things are wonderful and relevant to what it means to be a community and can make a difference in people's lives. But the real key is prayer. The real key is prayer. That's not anything new. That's not anything that we just came up with. It is the primary means by which we connect with God. It is the primary means that we connect with the source of love. The source, I said, of hope. Prayer is so important as people of faith. To stay connected to the one who created this whole world in the beginning. And the one who created you from the dust of the earth. Who breathed life into you. Prayer is the key. And Jesus, we're reminded today, was a man of prayer, as was his disciples. And he teaches them and us today that prayer is the key to getting refueled with the Holy Spirit. I had a crazy idea. Did you bring your cell phones with you today? Pull them out. Pull your cell phones out. We're going to do something wacky here. Are you ready? Got them out? Let's see them. I don't want any sluffers here. My gosh. Well, hey, the preacher's got his with him, so. Now, I want you to do something very important. I want you to call somebody. I want you to call somebody right now. I want you to call some. Okay, turn it on. That's good. I want you to call somebody. Call your mom, call your dad, call your brother, call your sister, call a friend. And tell them you want to pray with them right now. I told you it was crazy. They're probably just waking up. They're probably watching Joel Osteen or something on TV. I want you to call somebody right now. We're going to take the next 5 minutes. Call somebody. I'm going to call my mother right now. Well, you know, when I got this BlackBerry not long ago, I had to kind of change up my calling plan a little bit. I had to add on some extra coverage and all that sort of thing. But you know what? God's got the best calling plan of all. God's got unlimited minutes to spend with you. There are no roaming charges. There's no local, state, and federal taxes to worry about. You're not going to get a voicemail recording saying, call back later. There's no spotty coverage with one of those red or blue maps that you see with Verizon or AT&T. No, God's on call 24/7, 365. And I encourage you that as you think about getting refueled for the journey, that you spend goodly amounts of time in prayer. Because that's the secret. Jesus did it. Why shouldn't we? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to pray with some very special people. And this opportunity, Lord, to learn from Jesus once again. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. And ask your blessing upon all of us as we leave this place to go forth to make a difference in the life of someone this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.